everybody. Welcome in to No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy, the man with me. He is Dan. Dan, tell me what's going on.
Hey, what is going on, man? It is another week that feels kind of like a victory from Saturday, but it really wasn't. I kind of got that taste in my mouth like it feels good, but it wasn't good. You know what I mean? Do you feel this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I try to tell myself, I know I've said this before, I try to tell myself whenever we go on the road, like, all I want is a draw, really. Like, if we get a draw coming from a road game, get a point, I am happy. This is one of those weird games where, and I know we'll talk about this at length, where, like, in some ways, like, it almost feels like a win because you pulled points out of nowhere, really, the way that game started, and you really had no business to. So that's good. But on the other hand, you're like, wow, we really were down 2-0 to the Rapids in the first 8 minutes. Like, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, so it was weird. It was weird. And before we get rolling in on that, I think you know what I'm about to do. But I got to talk about this. I got to talk about this rating and review that we got. You know, the one we're talking about?
I absolutely know what you're talking about.
Well, first of all, we got a couple 5-star reviews, of course. Thank you guys for bringing those in. We do love to see them. So if you're listening to this right now, go to your iTunes page, your podcast app, go to No Other Pod, rate us, review us, and you'll make our week. So, but there
five
was
stars.
This one that 5 stars if you want to, you probably do. And okay, so Shakespeare FC didn't write a review per se, but left the 5 stars, grazie.
Good.
And in the subject line, it just says, "Far better than the Rubio apologist." Now, what's this mean? What is this? We've been speculating about this. I'm losing sleep over this. What does this mean?
I do not know.
You got nothing? I've been crunching numbers on this for a week I can't figure it out.
I don't know. I don't think that's a shot at anyone else.
Someone is a Rubio apologist, and I'm like, is it me? Is someone calling me names? Or
well, that's what I've been. Now I'm going through my brain, being like, what have I said about Rubio?
I
kind of defended Rubio to start the season. So I don't know if they are kind of calling me out. Maybe I don't know. But gave us 5 stars, so I'll take it.
Thank you for the rating, but if you're Shakespeare FC, shed some light on this for us, please. We need to know who this Rubio apologist is and what makes you better than this person. So I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, I would like to know. Please, you can tweet us at NoOtherPod, at JCMax03, at Dan Kuser. Let us know. You can snap us if you want to.
Oh, can snap us. That's weird.
Yeah, just do it. If you do it, please have your shirt on. Not like I get enough shirtless snaps from Latif.
We'll see how I feel.
Don't need any others. But yeah, man. Obviously, this game was on the road. 450 strong went out and made that trip out to Dick's Sporting Good Park. SKC Nation always shows out for the Colorado game, man. It looked cold. It did not look very fun. I don't know if it was cold, but I was warm on my couch, so it looked colder than I was. But tell me, man, what were you thinking, one, after that first goal in the 5th minute by Dominique Badji, and then tell me what your mind was at after that 8th minute goal by Joe Mason?
Well, what minute was the first goal, you said?
5th. God. We lasted a whole 5 minutes.
I remember that, dude. I had family in town, right? And I was like, okay, guys, I'm sorry we aren't going to go party or do anything in Chicago. I kind of got to watch this game because I'm a killer fan, and I kind of run a podcast about it, so kind of need to watch the material. But so I set them down to watch a soccer game, which if you all have non-soccer friends, that's kind of hard to do, to get someone to watch a soccer game with you, because it's kind of boring to them. Well, then we get scored on the first 5 minutes, and I'm deflated, dude. I'm just like, what just happened?
Yeah, man.
My mom's sitting next to me. She's like, well, that's not good. And I'm like, really, Mom?
You're like, thank you.
No shit.
Captain Obvious.
And then the next goal comes, yeah. And Mom goes, so are they going to lose now? I said, will you stop? Will you just stop that?
You're like, Mom, not now.
And I just, something in me, I said, there's a lot of game left. We're about to get pissed, and something's going to happen. But then halftime came around, and I wasn't sure, dude. So I had to go change jerseys. I put my jersey on my dog's jersey on. He has one, and which is nice because it actually keeps him from barking too. It's kind of like a little comfort blanket, whatever they call those things, thunder blanket.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know, but hey, whatever we did, it worked, man. We had the juju flowing, and it was good.
I like to imagine that like Peter Vermees just went in at halftime and just like. Death stared them all, like didn't say anything. He just kind of like stared at them, and and they got the point. They're like, yeah, you're right. But here's
what stared at him and did a lot of deep breaths. Just
yeah, like didn't blink. Like didn't
started
blink
shaking.
Once.
Like, Peter, you good, bro? And he's like, no, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I had a weird series of thoughts going through my head because as we talked about before on the pod last week, like I'm coming off a week where I asked Peter, like, hey, defense is not playing like they did last year. What's going on? And
yeah,
and I got shot
sassy.
Down real quick by Peter. And I'm like, okay, you know, you seem to not be too worried. You're saying these are just, you know, individual mistakes, nothing wrong, you know, things that can be corrected. And then, you know, I don't know if y'all know this. Colorado's not exactly known for their offensive attack.
Not at all.
And then to go down not only in the first 5 minutes 1-0, but to go down 2-0 in the first 8 minutes, I was like, Peter, my dude, this is what I was trying to ask about. And it wasn't just, you know, to me, it's not even that they want, I mean, going down 2-0 in the first 8 minutes, any team is bad enough. Going down 2-0 in the first 8 minutes, Colorado was awful. But it was the way the goals happened. Like that first goal that Dominique Badji had, Colorado sent a ball, you know, 35 yards across the field to Castillo on Colorado, who was up on the left side. And when he brings the ball down, I don't know what Beisler was doing or what, but Beisler's not within 20 yards of him. There is nobody. He's wide open. It was a total defensive breakdown. And then he sends this ball into Badji, and Opara doesn't stay with Badji, and Badji just taps it right in. And there's nothing Melia can do.
Dude, and it so was, that a was just sick, sick goal, though. I mean, that was sick.
Yeah, it was good looking for them. But I'm like, okay, well, that's not good. And then you get this other goal. And I don't know what happened again, but it was in a weird way almost the same thing where, again, it was just another long ball and Joe Mason's just running free. No SKC defender within 10 yards of him, and Beisler tries to catch him, but Mason turns both him and Melia around and then puts in a goal. But I'm watching this and I'm like, something is not right with the communication in the back line. Like, you don't see guys just running free with nobody within 10, 15, 20 plus yards of them. And that just doesn't happen to a Sporting KC defense. And so I was curious, how is Peter going to react to this? And I saw a lot of people tweeting, and Sam McDowell wrote a whole article kind of about Peter's answer to my question. A lot of people were like, I don't know, Peter, this defense looks like it's not great. And then at halftime, he kind of said the same thing again, individual mistakes. And I just got a little worried, but second half, they turned it around. So
you texted me. I'm looking at the timestamp on this. You literally texted me about 5 minutes after the game started. So right after the first goal, and it says, hey, remember when Peter got mad at me for asking about our defense?
Yeah.
And I wish we could just post our tweets, because then I got sassy and said to you, Gerso was nothing but a pair of fast legs. That's it. Everything else is trash. I was just mad. Yeah. I was mad because he's fast, and Kyrie Shelton's not doing his job, and it was crazy, dude.
Well, and I had high hopes going into this game because, you know, Daniel Shalhoub was out with the U21 Hungary team, so Johan Kwasey got in there, and
And didn't do
much. He was going to get his chance. No, he didn't. And I feel bad for him because, look, his position is a number 10. But let me tell you, he's not cracking that midfield anytime soon because Felipe is playing out of his friggin' mind right now. So there's just and Roger's doing good, and Ilya is not going anywhere. So there's no place for Johan. And he's out there.
Sub, dude. He's just gonna be a fresh pair of legs to give someone a relief at the end.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't really know what the deal. I mean, Matt Doyle called him out. Said he doesn't look like a DP player. I saw some other people were kind of piling in, saying, you know, he never did all that much in Belgium. I don't know. I never obviously watched him. I don't want to give up on him after just four games, but he doesn't look comfortable. Never did a whole lot, so I don't know. I did tweet out right as this game was about to go into halftime. May God be with Carter Augustine if he asked Peter Vermees about the defense at the half. Because I was worried for his safety. Because after Peter responded to my question last week, I didn't want poor Carter to be, like, decapitated on the field on live television. and Carter actually liked my tweet. But
I saw that.
You know, Peter was calm. He didn't seem worried. And, second half came out. And, man, Felipe is something else. I don't know.
He's the deal, huh?
I don't know how else to say it other than this dude is the real deal. And, you know, this goal that he got, he's just always in the right place at the right time. Because I think it was Zusi, sent this beautiful ball into Johan, and it was really one of the only things Johan did in the game. He got ahead to it, probably should have scored. It bounced off the left post, and Felipe is just making his late run, comes up, cleans it up, and throws it right in the goal. And I went nuts. What were you doing?
Oh, it was bananas. I really didn't see it coming. And then when it happened, it was all like, okay, fine, yes. I didn't want to celebrate too long because it's like we need another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I need to watch the goal again because I don't even remember it that well. And I'm not even drinking, dude.
Yeah, I'm just watching it kind of right now as we're talking about it, and it's hard to tell where Zusi is anymore because I used to look for the long hair and the man bun, and now I just see another
rest his soul.
Yeah, he's just another white guy running around with short dark hair, and I'm like, I don't know if that's Zusi. I don't know who it is. I think it's Zusi. I will say this about this goal. That ball from Zusi to Johan is beautiful. And Johan had about 6 feet of net to put it in anywhere on frame, and that's a goal. And he just puts it right into the post. But Felipe got his fourth goal in four games. And I don't know. Tell me what you think. Do you think Felipe has a chance at actually winning Newcomer of the Year? Because it feels like that always goes to strikers, and it feels like with this person coming into the league, I don't know if y'all have heard of him, his name's Zlatan. Like, he probably is the favorite.
Oh, that guy.
But, I don't know, do you think that if Felipe keeps this up, he's got a shot at winning some sort of award?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Either that or MVP, dude. I mean, what's keeping him from getting MVP?
I hope so. It feels like they always want a striker. And
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
I would really like them to see. I would like whoever the voters are, the players, the media, like whoever has a say in that. I know I don't. To take into account all the other stuff he does, because he does a lot.
Do you look at the power rankings every week? Is that something you even care about?
I don't look every week. I look every couple of weeks to try to see where, like, MLS media people are kind of putting us relative to everyone else.
Right,
but I don't look every week.
I check those out every Tuesday when they come out. And it just sucks that we got a draw on the road, and that drops us a point in the power rankings. You know what I mean?
Did it really?
Yeah, we're still in the top 10. They got us at number 8, but we were at number 7. And I'm just like, I mean, we went and rescued a draw. We came back. We showed we can be dramatic and save some shit, but I don't know. I know it's 1 point and it's stupid, but I don't like going down.
No, I agree with you. I think that's kind of like
Colorado stayed last.
It's bad. Well, okay. It's bad to go down that early 2-0 to a team like Colorado, but I mean, you kept them from scoring for the next, you know, 82 minutes, and you came back and you found ways to score, and the goals were pretty. There could have, you know, granted, there could have been more goals on both sides. You know, Enzo Martinez blasted a shot right over the crossbar for Colorado. Dominic Baggi, you know, misses a ball that he probably should have put in the back of the net later in the game. Johan probably should have scored a goal because Kyrie gave him this nice little pass. Johan went around the Colorado defender and then just kind of like fell over when he was one-on-one with Tim Howard. And then, you know, you had, do you remember when Felipe had the strangest thing when Zusi sent this cross in like the 81st minute, and it like bounces right off Felipe's midsection in front of an open net, and somehow he can't put it in the net. I don't even really know how that happened, but
yeah, that was insane. I mean, he chested it right into his hands.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, he had like 15 feet open net, and it's just he couldn't bring it under control. But thankfully, in the 91st minute, so there was 5 minutes of stoppage time. It was 2-1. 91st minute, Felipe again involved, sends a beautiful little ball into Gerso, who kicks it into to Kyrie, who backheels it to none other than Diego Rubio. So we're going to be a little bit of Diego Rubio apologists right now.
Not even going to apologize.
And Diego Rubio puts it in the net, 2-2. And I will say this, I was pissed. Because I missed the goal, because Sling TV decided that I was going to cut out right at that moment. So I'm like, okay, I'll go back out, and I'll go back in, and I reloaded again. All of a sudden, it's 2-2, and there's a celebration. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, dude, I was texting you, because we were like, I was like, oh, great, I'm sure Diego's going to do so much. And you were like, yeah, a whole 3 minutes. I said, this is a stupid idea. And then it happened, and I text you, and I said, Peter's a genius. And you were like, I freaking missed it, dude.
I was all on Twitter trying to find videos of it, and I was like, I don't know what happened, and I'm supposed to talk about this. I need to see it. Yeah, it was not good.
That was too funny.
But yeah, I mean, I guess when you come back from a 2-2 or a 2-0 deficit to draw an earner point on the road, you have to be happy with that, right? Like, you can't come out of that game too upset, I don't think, can you?
Oh, I think you got to be a little upset. I don't know why I just stuttered like Foghorn Leghorn for a minute. I say you got to be upset, you know.
I said.
I see here, boy. No, you got to be a little upset because you were in the hole and your back's against the wall from the get-go, and now you got to fight to come back. And you know, Rapids just couldn't close it out. If that's any other game, I mean, they're going to shut you down. If that's any other team, they're going to finish the game.
That's true. If you look at the statistics, I mean, statistically, if you were to look at this game, you'd be like, how the heck did Sporting not just destroy Colorado? I mean, they outshot Colorado 20-8, 9-2 on target. Sporting had 62% of the possession. Sporting took 7 corners to 0 for Colorado. I mean, like,
that's true, man.
Colorado had 3 yellow cards to Sporting's 1 yellow card. Like, you look at the shot chart and you're like, how the hell did Sporting not score 3, 4, 5 goals? And maybe they should have, but you know,
we're coming too. Like, we are attacking the goal, and it makes me hopeful because things are happening. We're putting goals on, and the defense will come, dude. The defense will solidify. That's not a problem. They've done it. They did it last year. They'll figure it out.
Do you know which team has scored the most goals in MLS so far this year?
Well, I think someone told me it was us.
It's Sporting Kansas City with 9 goals, more than NYCFC. Way more than Toronto, who's got zero, weirdly, through two games.
More than Columbus?
More than Columbus, who's got eight. So eight, Columbus and New York City both have eight goals. And then there's the Dynamo, the Dynamo at seven, the Red Bulls at seven, and Atlanta at seven. But
and we have nine.
Sporting KC's got nine. Do you know who has let up the most goals this season?
Probably again.
It is Sporting Kansas City with nine.
Hey, we're good at everything. Yeah. If you're gonna be good, be the best at it. All right. If you're gonna be an alcoholic, be the best alcoholic you can be. All right.
You heard it here first. Giving
don't listen
the,
to that.
The best no life one... advice.
Don't go to the bar and be like, this guy told me once on a radio that I should drink more.
Yep. Don't say that, but
don't
drink responsibly. But yeah, we've allowed nine goals. That's actually tied for worst in MLS, so someone's keeping us company. And that someone is DC United.
Who are we tied with?
DC.
Oh, DC, okay.
United, who they're...
So we're going to get a 0-0 draw with them on Saturday.
Well, probably, because that's how the league goes. The two teams who are the worst defenses in MLS, yeah, no one's going to score. I wouldn't be surprised. That's how stupid this league can be sometimes. How weird. But, look, all I can say is through four games, Sporting KC has 7 points, and that's good enough for first in the West right now. It is so early. You can't really take anything from any of this, I don't think.
What did I say? You got to wait till April. You got to wait till April to start counting games.
Yeah. But, you know, these points, whether they come in March or whether they come in September, they're all worth the same. So you got a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of,
and I don't care if you count them or not, but you got to be excited about the wins and comebacks.
Right, exactly. And all of these early points that you can grab, whether you're stealing one on the road in Colorado or winning on the road in Chicago in a comeback win, whatever. These are all going to matter later in the season when U.S. Open Cup starts and maybe you have that fall. Hopefully we don't have that fall lull again that Sporting KC's become so famous for. But all of these early points just provide a little bit more of an insurance policy for later in the year if and when they need them. I will say this. You know, there's a stat going around. Nathan Martin was the one who tweeted this, said August 2015 is the last time Kansas City allowed 2+ goals in 4 straight MLS games. And this kind of goes hand in hand with the question we got on Twitter. Bob and Weave said, I want to see what your thoughts on the second half defense when it seemed Espinoza switched with Zusi and let Zusi play a little bit more midfield, seemed to work a bit better on that side, and the change of Sinovic and Madranda. So a lot of questions about defense. First, my question for you,
bro,
I guess,
when
is...
Hold up.
Go
when
for
Madranda
it.
Came in, that was hot. Like, that was a lit situation, if I can use the term that kids are using these days. That got real lit, man, and he was flying up and down and making things happen, and I was excited about that.
Do you think, given that other stat that I just mentioned, that this is the first time in 3 years that Sporting KC's let up 2 or more goals in 4 straight games, and given how they seem to look a lot better with Jimmy in there, is there a chance Peter looks at making a more permanent move and bringing Jimmy in instead of Seth at left back?
Dude, that is a great flipping question, too. Like, I mean, couldn't you see it? I mean, that's what they've hung on to Jimmy so long for, because they knew that he was such a versatile player when they brought him in.
Yeah.
And if there was Swope Park Rangers when he was first brought in, he would have been down there getting minutes and crushing the competition. And now he's actually getting minutes with us, and it's like, I could see him starting, man. I mean, yeah, I don't know how to answer it. I mean, Seth is like a mainstay right now, you know? And he's not bad, he's not doing anything wrong, he's getting up the field.
Yeah, I love Seth, and like you said, he's a mainstay. He's been around for many years. He's kind of like a Sporting KC. Just when you think Sporting KC, Seth Stanovic's one of the players I think of because he's just been around for so long.
You think him and Bees, right?
Him and Bees, yeah, exactly. And Zusi. But there's no denying that Jimmy brings in an element that Seth just doesn't quite have. And I don't know if it's because Seth is more of a natural defender, or if it's because Seth is now 31 and Jimmy's still 24, or what. But Jimmy brings a creativity that Seth just doesn't quite have. And when you have someone like Jimmy on the left side and Zusi on the right side in your fullback positions, you can push both of them up forward, drop Roger and Ilya back a little bit more in the midfield to help provide cover, and now all of a sudden it's almost like you got five forwards because you got the striker, the two wingers, and now you got Jimmy and Zusi who can both play winger coming up too. Like, that's a hard...
Yeah, that's big time.
That's hard to stop. And I think that's what Bob and Weave kind of pointed out there is... That's kind of exactly what happened in this game, and how they came back is Zusi pushed up, Jimmy pushed up, and Espinoza just kind of let them go up there and make plays, and it worked. So,
yeah, Zusi's doing things this year too, man. Like he's doing good. He's doing good things.
Yeah, he is. I think if we were to see Jimmy more often, start. I think Bees and Ike and Melia kind of need to figure out their stuff. We've said before, a lot of what a lot of the goals really aren't Melia's fault because he's been put in these horrible situations. But Ike and Bees got to figure a couple things out because it seems like they're just out of sync right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, a little bit. And it's totally weird. Like, I mean, you think of it like, oh, the season just ended for us in, you know, early November or whatever it was, late October, and then it's like, why shouldn't we be clicking 5 months later? And it's like, oh, that is a lot of time to get out of sync. I mean, but it doesn't seem like a lot of time, right? Because they started preseason at the end of January, so what's the big deal?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there either. And hopefully...
I mean, Ike's trying to get on the national team, yo. I mean, this isn't going to help him.
No, not at all. I mean, and that's a great point. Ike's got to play better than he has. Bees has got to play better than he has if Sporting KC are going to end up making some noise come later in the season. But coming up next week, they are back at Children's Mercy Park. Against DC United, and DC United so far is winless. They are no wins, two draws, and two losses. Last week they lost on the road 3-1 to the Columbus Crew. So
this is going to be a good game. And if anyone out there isn't going to make it to this game, I mean, I don't know, something's wrong with you if you're not making it to this game.
Why you got to do me like that? it's so sad. I will not be able to be at the game because we have a family wedding on Saturday night that I have to go to. So I'll be having
weddings are dime a dozen.
Yeah. Well, nowadays. I will be having a good time at the wedding, but I will not be able to watch the game live. Now, let me ask you this. I don't know if you do this. I might just be kind of weird. So when I can't watch a game live, I like try to cut off from society because I want to watch the game on replay having no idea what happened. Because if I know what happened, it kind of ruins it for me. So, I mean, do you do that too?
I don't do that. I gotta know the result so I can get hype about it, you know, and there's just no way. Now, this will be interesting Saturday night. Kansas is in the Final Four, Rock Chalk people, and I don't, you know, how many people are going to be watching that game in the members club or the bar areas, and how many people are going to watch the soccer game? It's at the same time, dude, and that sucks.
It does. You know, it's not unprecedented. They did move a Sporting KC game before because of a KU conflict,
That's dumb, by the way. I don't know why they would do that.
I think MLS is beyond that now. I mean, it was, I don't know exactly when it was numbered, like years ago. I don't think MLS would.
It would have been 2012.
Was it 2012? Is that what you said? Okay.
That was the last time they were in Final Four, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think MLS has come quite a ways since then, so I don't think the league would do that. And I think Sporting KC is at a place where they'll still have a pretty good crowd, but I think the crowd will be maybe a little bit more thin than it would normally be, and probably a lot of people watching KU on their phones. So, maybe
yeah,
not.
I used to remember, dude, like, when I was doing theater and like doing a comedy show or being in a play or a musical or something, like if it was March Madness, dude, and this show fell on March, it was like those weekends when KU played, people were getting ticket refunds. I mean, they were bailing out on the show, and it was just like it was awful. So I mean, I can kind of think like how many people are going to try to sell their tickets for Saturday or slash give them away or slash not even go.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
And then a lot of people don't give a shit. A lot of people are like, it's KU. I hate KU. I'm going to the game.
A lot of the K-State fans, Mizzou fans, they got no reason.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see what sort of crowd turns out. DC isn't the biggest draw. I mean, they got a couple guys. They got Paul Areola, they got Yamil Assad. But I mean, they don't necessarily have like that marquee player. They're not a NYCFC no. That's got David Villa and they're not like a great team.
Marquee player is their coach, right?
Ben Olsen.
Yeah.
yeah, he's been around that club for God knows how long.
For real.
But yeah, I don't know. DC's in a bad place. They have their new stadium opening up later this year, and they did not want to be limping in, and right now they're winless through four games. Ben Olsen's maybe on the hot seat a little bit, speaking of him. Might be playing, you know, coaching for his job a little bit. I don't know. I personally don't see Sporting KC losing this game. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I don't either. And the way we're being confident with our finishing and our goal scoring, I'll go off and say my prediction right now at a 3-0 scoreline.
Ooh, okay.
Why not, dude? Why not? You're at home. You've scored the most goals in the league. Why not go ahead and score a third of what you've scored already this season?
No, hey, you know what? I think now is as good a time as any to get your first clean sheet. DC doesn't score that much. They've put the ball in the net five times through four games. That's nothing to write home about. 2-0, 3-0. I could see it. Man, 3-0 would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be nuts. I mean, that's a ballsy prediction, but you know, with soccer prediction, it's not like football, dude, where you're like, 27-14, you know, it's you gotta say 3-1, 2-1, whatever.
Right.
So it's they are what they are.
And the team should have Daniel Shalloway back, I believe. He should be on the
That's
way back
exciting.
From Hungary. So
yeah, we're talking two assists from him this weekend.
Okay, there you go. You heard it here first. Dan Kuzer, 3-0, two assists for Shalloway. Who's scoring the goals, if you're going to go that detailed?
Oh, dude, Felipe's going to get one.
Of course. Makes sense.
Yeah, so. I mean, you gotta think... Does Zusi get up there and get another one, or who's starting between Shelton and Rubio?
I think Shelton's going to start, and I think Shelton gets his first goal. I do.
That's
I think
a good
Shelton
idea.
Gets his first goal. He was getting
confident.
He shot out when Johan fell down and like poked the ball toward Tim Howard. Shelton was there and fired a shot in, and it was a good shot. It just got deflected. He had his little back heel to Rubio when they were both in there together. I think Shelton's getting more fit, and I think he's getting more confident. He's been getting better every game. So I think he finds
it.
Yeah,
the
you know
more
what?
Times he does it, the better he'll be.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a header off a set piece because he's tall. So
that'd be so sick. But our corner kicks are garbage.
They are. We always do like the stupid short corners. I don't know why.
Or way too long corners.
Or way too... Our only good corner of the year hit Felipe right in the stomach, and it just was like at that perfect awkward spot where he couldn't bring it under control and couldn't score.
I can't believe he didn't chest that right in. I was like, are you kidding me?
Like, I feel like he could have just walked into the goal and the ball would have gone with him. But
oh, man, he could have brought it down to his feet real fast instead of chesting it right into his hands.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, I think we're both pretty confident that Sporting KC should get a win. I mean, at very least, they'll get a result of some sort. I really see no way that Sporting KC should lose a game at home against DC. If they do, something went terribly wrong. But you know, if they win, you know, 10 points through 5 games, you're doing real well. So we'll keep on that trajectory. You want to go through? It was a short week because we're supposed to be on an international break. We'll run through these other games real quick just to kind of give you a whirlwind of what happened. The New England Revolution drew with NYCFC 2-2. Granted, New York City didn't have David Villa, so I don't know how much you can take from that. FC Dallas drew with Portland 1-1. Columbus, like we mentioned, beat DC 3-1. Red Bulls destroyed Minnesota 3-0, and Vancouver and LA.
Pause on the Red Bulls. They got a good team this year, man, and it's crazy because as much as they've kind of rebuilt a little bit, retooled things. But Red Bulls are kind of exciting to watch, and I kind of hope they rock the house in CONCACAF Champions League.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I mean they've only played 2 games, but they're two wins. They've scored.
But they're carrying their Champions League success over to MLS,
absolutely.
Unlike Toronto.
And you know what? Granted, again, 2 games, but Peter said it's hard to be good on offense and good on defense at the same time. Red Bulls have 7 goals for and only 1 goal against through 2 games. That's
oh yeah, well, seems like they can do it. It must be real hard.
Yeah, they Red Bulls have found a way. So I think,
don't tell Peter I said that. Like, I'm pretty sure he listens to this and is now looking up where I live.
That's probably, you're probably going to get a tweet from him. I heard he's you know, probably got some burner Twitter accounts that he'll be sending you some.
Oh my god,
some
he probably has
mail.
A fake name.
Vitor Permis is gonna start tweeting at you.
Ah, you stole my joke. You stole my joke. I was gonna say that.
Great minds, man. Great minds think alike.
It's a Schmieder Schmermies.
It's just gonna be his face with a mustache photoshopped on.
Oh my god, photoshopped mustache, and it's at Hungarian Bandit.
Because
he takes all the Hungarian players, and he is indeed Hungarian. Get it?
Oh my god, Hungarian Bandit. That's my new nickname for him.
No, don't even call him that. You're not even welcome back to the press conference.
Well, no, that's the thing. Is after the next press conference, I'm gonna be like, Peter, what was your reaction when you first heard that your nickname was the Hungarian Bandit? And
oh my god, he'll be like, is that real? And he'll be like, no, I'll see you later.
Yeah, and then I will be kicked out and never allowed back and probably have my credential rescinded. But, man.
Well, then you have to come back with new credentials as Shmimmy Schmack.
That's right. In no way related to Jimmy Mac. The mustache makes all the difference.
Who's that guy? Just some dude, some super black mustache that doesn't match your hair at all.
Yeah, no, it works. I don't know what you're talking about. This is my natural color.
Oh my god, Rico Suave.
Oh man. Well, yeah. So you know, short. It was a short week because we were
we get derailed and you like pause about it.
We do, but it's all good. It was
we have fun.
A short week because breaking news. There was a U.S. national team game this week.
Oh yeah, that happened tonight.
Yeah, we're recording on Tuesday, so
last night.
It just happened. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I.
Does anyone care about it? Like anyone out there? Do you guys care?
Well, you know, I was trying to to see how it was going on Twitter. And, you know, I checked and...
People were mad.
Yeah, it didn't really seem like it was going that well. People are really mad at Sarachan, the interim coach, because he's not really doing anything very good for the team. You know, it was like 75 minutes into the game, and they had made one sub, and some of the younger promising guys like Timothy Weah weren't playing. Yeah, the team won 1-0 over Paraguay, but it was just because of a 45th minute PK by Bobby Wood. So I don't know. Like, why are we starting Darlington Nagbe? Like, he's 27. He's not going to be around next World Cup cycle. You know, we need Timothy Weah in there. We need EPB in there. We need these younger guys in there. Christian Roldan. I don't know. It's hard to get excited when there's nothing to play for and the soccer is bad and the coaching is worse. So,
I mean, they won 1-0. So, I mean, that was, I guess that's something, but, you know, the way the lineup was, Bobby Wood was up there, and, you know, like you said, Nagbe was in there, Matt Miazga, Cameron Katavikas, and that's how I hear people say his name on English television and stuff. But, you know, Bill Hamid was on the sideline, and Eric Palmer Brown, I don't think, came in. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Wasn't really how I wanted that game to go, but...
Who did sub on, dude? Oh, Christian Roldan. Timothy Weah did come on in the 86th minute.
Woo! A whole 4 minutes for the guy who should be the future of our team.
Rubio Rubin came in earlier, and who is Andriha Novakovic? Because that's a real American-sounding name.
That's a real person. I'm not sure. I had not
okay.
Not heard of.
Well, he's the future, so we should get used to that. We should learn.
Andriha Novakovic. Okay. Well, we'll have to have to figure out who that is. I don't know. I'm bummed my Everton homie Anthony Robinson didn't get in the game.
Nope.
Probably a good thing for the team if you have Everton defenders that aren't getting playing time on your team. It's probably not good. But I don't know. It's just kind of sad. We're 2 months out from the World Cup, and it's just, I don't know. Not a great time for the U.S. national team. There's some controversy also around the World Cup 2026 bid.
I'll tell you this real fast. I did an Ancestry DNA test over the weekend, and basically, I'm going to see my heritage, man. I'm going to see what nationality I am, which I think is probably majority German. I'm about to be the biggest frickin' Germany fan this summer.
There you go. I will tell you, you sent me a picture of their kit, and that is a nice-looking kit.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I'm like, I'm probably going to be part Irish, too. And I know they're not in the World Cup, but my wife's already prepared for all this stuff when I go buy all these national team jerseys, because that's what I am.
Yeah, I have not done an Ancestry DNA kit, but I visited Iceland, and I liked Iceland, and they are very nice people.
Nice.
So,
did you buy a jersey? I forget.
You know, I don't know. I have an Iceland t-shirt.
Okay.
I don't have
What does it say? Like a tourist t-shirt?
It's just got the Icelandic flag, and it says island on it, because how you spell Iceland in Icelandic is how you spell island in English. So,
really?
Yeah, Iceland.
Huh. Some weird people.
Yeah, well, hey, did you know? Fun fact with no other pod.
I love fun facts.
Did you know that more than half of the population of Iceland either believes in the existence or the possibility of the existence of elves?
Of elves?
Elves.
Like small things or
like small little creatures. Elves? Like the kind that like live in trees and bake cookies?
Like Santa stuff? Like
yeah, that's what they told us when we were flying over to Iceland. There was a little video that you could watch on the plane that like facts about the country, and yeah, they a lot of people in Iceland believe in elves. It's a big part of their culture.
What the heck? So like, yeah. what do they believe that they do? What do they serve? What purpose are elves?
They just believe they're like little, you know, woodland creatures. Run around. They're people even do environmental protests because they're worried that, you know, they're going to ruin the elves' natural habitat. So, this is a real thing. There's a whole article in The Atlantic about it, why so many Icelanders still believe in invisible elves. So, I'm not crazy. There you go.
Iceland is a lie, and we don't want to root for these elf believers in the World Cup, I'll tell you that. Yeah. What the heck? So,
you learn something new tonight. You get a little soccer, you get a little culture. What else can you ask
for? The more you know, draws rainbow.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll bring it on back to soccer.
Let's go to this here. Oh, sorry. What are you saying?
No, what were you going to say? Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say, besides Sporting, of course, playing this week, what matchup do you most look forward to this weekend?
I mean, I think there's an obvious choice here, right? And
yeah,
I think it's LA Galaxy versus LAFC. I mean,
yep. It's the battle of LA.
It's the first battle of LA. It's
wasn't that a movie
on Fox? It's Battle Los Angeles is a movie. Yeah, I didn't see it. I heard it was bad.
I think I saw it, and it was bad.
It wasn't good. If you don't remember it that well,
yeah, definitely not good.
There's a lot of reasons why this is the game to watch. It's on the big box. And like we mentioned before, there's this person. His name is Zlatan. He just signed for the Galaxy, and he's kind of a big deal. At least he thinks so.
I hope he doesn't play.
I mean, look, the game's on Big Fox. It's LA versus LA. Like I know you're going out there for the game on April 8th when Sporting play against the Galaxy. Yeah. I know you would love for him to make his debut in that game. Even if he gets out there for 30 seconds, I don't see him not making an appearance in this game.
Really? They said he hadn't even arrived yet. Like he hadn't even arrived.
He arrives Thursday.
He's gonna arrive Thursday and train with the team for a day. And then play
he's
Saturday.
He's Latin. He doesn't train with the team. The team trains with him.
This is not some Walker Texas Rangers shit. I hate these. I hate how they compare his little sayings to him. It's like, oh, Zlatan doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth away. You know what I mean?
He does it himself, man. He said, "Los Angeles, welcome to Zlatan."
I know. So. He posts like a picture of him like facing off against the devil, or like, why does LA Galaxy just have a lion?
He's Jesus.
Why did the Galaxy just have a lion hanging around?
So funny story about that.
You have more fun facts?
So I saw that video. And I was like, what the heck is going on? There's just a lion walking around. So I put up this tweet, and it was just like me making fun of the Galaxy. And it's like what I imagine this conversation goes like. And I'm like, hi, yes, this is the LA Galaxy. We need a lion, please. Yes, a lion. No, not a fake lion, a real lion. Yeah, and real like lion. I'm just kind of like Simba. Making fun. And, a couple hours later... one of the LA Galaxy marketing, PR, and digital employees tweets back at me. He goes, "That's actually pretty accurate."
Are you serious?
So I was like, "Yeah."
Oh my god, that's too funny. dude, well, they were gonna sign him like 2 years ago, so they probably got this lion 2 years ago, and it's just been freaking, chilling at Roman Alessandrini's place.
Probably. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened.
No, I'm pretty sure the lion had to chill with the goalkeeper that Aiko Parra scored the bicycle kick against. Who was that?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh dang it.
Yeah, man, this game's gonna be fun though. And I just Zlatan could have one leg and half an arm and they'd find a way for him to get out there on the field this game, I think.
Oh my gosh. Dude, he's gonna get hurt before summertime.
I just hope he doesn't get hurt before April 8th.
That's true. And what about, wasn't he talking about wanting to play in the World Cup for Sweden?
Yeah, think so.
Is that still a thing? Is that what he's still wanting to do?
I'm sure he does. I mean...
Oh, my Lord.
It's probably his last chance at a World Cup.
Well, I mean, I would hope so. He's like 36.
I mean, he might hire Tom Brady's doctor. You don't know.
Oh my God! You need to get on that like TB12 diet, dude. That borderline TB12 vegan diet.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a YouTube show I watch. Other small tangent. And they were guessing like the cheat meals of celebrities. These were real cheat meals that like people had like talked about. And there was like six up there. They were supposed to guess whose was what. One of they're like things that are like apple pie, French toast, like real things that are terrible for you. Except there's one up there that was like a kale and quinoa salad.
Yeah.
That was Tom Brady's cheat meal.
Oh my God.
It was a kale and quinoa salad.
That's his real cheat meal though?
Because he's got his crazy diet. That's how he's like 48,000 years old and still throwing 30
Dude,
touchdowns.
That's delicious, by the way. Kale and quinoa salad.
So that'll be a good game. Are there any other games that are jumping out to you that you're interested in, or is that pretty much it?
Now you have me wondering if I should go see Ready Player One on Saturday, because that Galaxy game is gonna be fun. But then that evening, I don't know. Minnesota Atlanta would be fun. I'd love to see Minnesota take them at home. You know, anything could happen with those two teams. Yeah. So. Other than that, not really. I mean, maybe Orlando Red Bulls at noon, but that's about it.
If Orlando can finally get things on track, man, I thought they'd be good.
Well, that'll be fun, because that's Sasha Kljestan's old team, so that's probably why that stands out to me.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's a good game. Orlando's had it real rough, never made the playoffs. They came in at the same time as NYCFC, and NYCFC's an MLS Cup contender, you know, Supporters Shield contender, and Orlando City's just, like, trying not to fire their coach. So
that's true.
But that's what you get when you pay $1.6 million for Dom Dwyer.
Oh, so, who sits on the bench with an injury.
It's a lot of money for not a lot of minutes, but... Hey, you guys have fun with them.
It works for us. We got this guy called Felipe. We don't need no striker.
He's pretty good. I like Felipe.
Yeah.
I caved. I bought a black jersey. I got the long sleeve version.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost got Felipe on the back. Oh. Like, I do not. I'm like adamantly against names on the back of soccer jerseys. Yeah. But I almost got Felipe's.
I thought you were going to say, I almost got Zlatan on the back of my SKC jersey.
No.
He plays for whoever he wants to play for, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be pretty epic.
My favorite, last thing about Zlatan, my favorite thing was the LA Times ad he took out. Did you see that? It was a full-page ad in the LA Times.
Yeah.
And all it said was, "Dear Los Angeles, you're welcome."
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
This dude.
I don't like it.
You know Siggy's not happy.
He can't be happy.
Siggy,
he's
like,
being forced to have this.
This isn't what he wanted. He's got Ola Kamara, and he's good. Like, really good. And now he's got Zlatan coming. Like, their defense sucks. He's like, hey, how about we take $1.5 million and replace, you know, old-ass broken Ashley Cole back there and get me an actual defender.
Seriously?
Nope. Zlatan. So.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll
see. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
See.
I can't see him getting on the field Saturday, but you know, it'd be so funny if everyone's bought all those tickets and he doesn't get on the field. I mean, because that's Siggy's deal, right? He chooses who gets on the field. It's not like he's forced to put him in the lineup.
Yeah, but what happens if Zlatan just walks up to the fourth referee and says, "Hey, I'm checking in"? Like, is Siggy going to walk over and say, like, "Nope, he's not"?
Probably not.
yeah. I mean, I
bet he's not even in the 18. I bet he's not even in the 18.
Oh, man. If he's not, there's going to be a lot of pissed people because people are dropping 200-300 on tickets for that game. So
I know. I hope everyone gets screwed. I'm all about that. L.A. people spending too much money.
I'll get to see
you and your fancy Disneyland.
Well, man, we are coming up on that time. Is there anything else you want to let our good and faithful listeners know before we sign off tonight?
Nope. I just need to know what the Rubio apologist is. I am losing sleep over it. Tell me! Somebody tell me!
Please tell us. We will be forever grateful. But
I don't know. Shakespeare FC, hit me up.
Well, like we mentioned before, ratings and reviews, if you can. We'd love it. It helps us out. You can tweet us at NoOtherPod, at JCMac03, at DanKuzer. Like us on Facebook. Send us an email, nootherpod@gmail.com. Neither of us are going to be able to be at the game on Saturday, so if any of you are super kind and can somehow get your hands on a couple of extra Ike Bike bobbleheads, we would be eternally grateful.
Yeah, for real.
I'm half kidding, but if you got the hook,
half kidding, kind of. But if you do it, hey, thank you.
But yeah, we'll. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week after hopefully another Sporting KC win. For Dan, I'm Jimmy. We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Bye-bye.